Happy Sunday, happy, happy Sunday, and welcome to another amazing edition of Sunday Conversations with the Rileys. This is your boy, Gerald G. Rat Riley, and unfortunately, my best friend, my wife, my rib, my homegirl, my everything is not here today, so I'm by myself, ladies and gentlemen. Listen, we are broadcasting from Columbus, Georgia, all the way to Eufaula, Alabama, and surrounding areas. And today's Sunday conversation is entitled, She Got It. I'm going to say that again. She Got It. In the studio with me today is an amazing woman. She is a minister. She is a business owner. She is a mother. She is a friend. She is dynamic as a singer, as a speaker. And the Rileys are so proud and so honored to call her our friend. Ladies and gentlemen, listening audience, please welcome to our studio, Mrs. Danielle. What's your last name?
Taylor.
Mrs. Danielle Taylor. Okay, we have an exciting show today, so we're going to go ahead and jump right on into the mix, if you don't mind, Mrs. Taylor. So my first question, Mrs. Taylor, is how do you mix your ministry and your business together?
Well, it's really easy because people always ask the question, Gerald, what is my purpose? And oftentimes when we're looking for our purpose in ministry, it's wrapped up in what we love to do anyways.
Okay.
So I've always been the type of person, I've been a go-getter. So when I started business, I'm just transitioning the things that I've learned in business into ministry, and it's actually making it easier to work ministry.
Awesome, awesome. So what about your personal time? You're running your business, you're running your ministry. So how do you find time to do Danielle Taylor? How do you find time to go to the movies, relax? What's your woosah? How do you relax? What, did you go fishing? I mean, what do you do?
You know, I don't fish because the fish don't like me. The last time I tried, they just wouldn't bite.
Okay. There's no such thing, but okay.
Yeah, but, you know, however, my time is really just rolling up with a good movie like anybody else, relaxing. And I do make time for that. I'm kind of a night owl. So nighttime is my time, a couple hours to myself when everybody just kind of settles down. That's my time, and I'm learning to make more time for myself. I'm a workaholic, but just like this weekend, for example, I took 2 days out of the city of Columbus. I couldn't believe I did it, but I did. So I'm learning to just intentionally make time for myself.
You know, that is awesome. So Lady Danielle, let me say this. Name some of the businesses that you own and some of the things that you do. Don't elaborate because we're going to get into it later on. But just give me a couple of things that you do, the name of your business, the name of your ministry, the name of your service.
Okay, well, my ministry is eChurch International.
Okay.
I'm also the owner of Tax Pro Columbus for the last 22 years.
Okay.
I have a boutique, and it's called Boutique 46. I'm an author. I'm a singer. So that's just a couple of the things that I do.
Wow. Now, where is all this located?
I am on Victory Drive on the corner right across from Walmart. If you're at Walmart and you go across the crosswalk, you will be right where I am.
So you're on Victory Drive?
Yes.
So you're on the south side?
On the south side.
So why open up a business on the south side?
It's because I have a love for the south side. I was raised in South Columbus, went to Winterfield, went to Eddy Middle School, went to Baker High School, graduated in the last class from Baker High School. And I have had a choice to locate my business in any part of town, but because I do have a heart for South Columbus, I decided to make sure I found something in that area.
You know, that is awesome. So how long have you been in business?
I have been in business altogether, 22 years.
How long you been in ministry?
I've been in ministry, oh my goodness, 38 years. I started at the age of 10 leading praise and worship, believe it or not. And from there, I continued to grow in the ministry from being a worship leader to being over the choir when I became a teenager, then moving into teaching ministry, and then from there to explore all of the other parts of ministry.
Okay, now you say you have eChurch. Now, I heard of e-cigarettes, but I never heard of eChurch. So what is eChurch?
E actually stands for two things. It's electronic church, because that's how we started, electronically, and it's everyone.
Okay, now, So each church, do you think e-church is the wave of the future? Is that where we're going as far as ministry?
I believe it's the wave of now. And it makes, I don't think the brick and mortar fellowship should be done away with. However, I do believe that electronic ministry opens more doors and opportunity. The Bible says the gospel has to be preached into all the world.
Right.
How can we physically get there? So I believe that this is one of those methods to get the gospel to all the world, and it allows us to be able to reach more people. I'm able to have what's called an international ministry because I have people following in other countries that follow all the time. I don't believe that would have been achieved without having social media or the internet.
Now, what about the personal aspect of it? I mean, doesn't the scripture say, don't forsake the assembly of?
Well, I believe, Riley, we have to look at the context of that scripture.
Okay.
Because we do need fellowship. However, there were not the internet resources then. So I think that scripture was from a perspective of what was available at the time. And so fellowship then probably meant one-on-one. Now, can we fellowship online? Absolutely. I can put you on Zoom. We can Zoom with someone in different states and country and still be able to have that fellowship with one another, but not just be in the same physical proximity.
You know, I love, I've logged on a couple of times when you were doing e-church, and me personally, I love e-church because some people are not necessarily comfortable in this COVID environment that we're living in, assembling together. And so e-church is a very viable option to regular traditional church. And so I thank you for being on the cutting edge, so to speak, of ministry. And so this is my next question. What would be added to e-church in the future?
Well, of course, just like you said, the fellowship is very important. I started this with just the idea of being electronic in mind because that was what God told me to do. He said, do it for a year and I'll give you further instruction. Well, the further instruction is now to have a local campus for eChurch, a place that we can fellowship and meet with one another. And we'll be launching that January 1st, the first Sunday in January.
Oh, I can't. Will you come back on?
I will. I'll come back
on. Awesome. Awesome. Now, recently, I've been trolling Facebook, and I've been trolling you on Facebook. Now, recently, did you do a turkey giveaway?
I did.
Tell us about it.
That was our first event. As soon as I got the lease and keys.
Who is y'all? Who is
for y'all? eChurch.
eChurch.
Yes.
And who are you?
I'm the pastor.
What's your name?
Danielle Taylor.
Okay, now go ahead.
Yeah, so that was our first community event. We wanted to make sure as soon as we got the keys in our hands, we put our feet on the ground to let the community know that we were there. We gave away 25 turkeys, 25 food baskets, 25 bunches of collard greens. We did a cookout and fed the community. And then we set up a tent. We had outdoor music, and we had praise and worship outside with the community. And I didn't get a head count, but I know we had at least 100 people from the community that came through, and they literally sat outside. They listened to us speak. They sang the songs with us. We've got some of the videos on Facebook. So it was an encouragement to me too, to let me know that people will come if you make yourself available. If you open the doors, open the resources and say, hey, we're here. The ones that need it, they will come.
Now, did God tell you to open up a church? E-church on the south side, or is this something that you just seen a need for on the south side?
Well, it's twofold. He did, and I'm going to tell you how he did. I also have a very prophetic gift. And after he told me to launch e-church online, and I did that, the earlier part of the year, I kept seeing myself leave out of my office in a dream and walk into a building behind me.
Okay.
Now, there wasn't a building behind me that was open or existed. It was actually abandoned. And the landlord came to me in the summer, and he said, I think I'm going to just remodel those and turn them into some suites. And when he said that, the Lord spoke to me and said, that's the building that you were going into, and that's going to be your space for ministry.
Wow. Now, you said you have a prophetic gift. For those out there listening, Elder, what is a prophetic gift?
A prophetic gift is just the gift where God gives you insight. Like, he deals with me through dreams, prophetically. So I'm able to see things that are coming, get a word of knowledge. He'll show me in dreams things that are about to happen, gives me direction on what I should do, decisions that I should make. Also, it's kind of a curse. At the same time, I see death a lot. I literally see when people die. So that's a part of how the prophetic gift works and what you will receive or see when you have a prophetic gift.
Lady Teller, that is amazing. Now, I have some more questions to ask you, but this is what I really been wanting to ask you. Out of all these questions, this is what I really wanted to get to. Are you single?
I am single, yes.
Wow. Okay, now tell me, what does ministry look like as a single female? Is it different than ministry as a single male or a married female? Is it more challenging? What are the challenges?
It is definitely more challenging. It is so different from being married because, of course, when I was married, my husband was our complete total covering. The responsibility for ministry I did not have on my own. So there was the shared, the work was shared, the workload was shared. And also, I didn't have to worry about being single. I didn't have to worry about dating who my partner was going to be. If I wanted to go to that movie, who would be with me? And so I'm finding, as a single woman, really standing and having principles and standing in a godly way is so important. I've wanted to date. I've had lots of people that have asked me for dates, but I'm in the mindset of, if I know you don't go along with my purpose, it's a waste of time. And so God has just told me to stay to myself and continue to focus on ministry. And when the time is right, the right person will come.
Okay, now what would you tell those single women out there? Maybe they go to church, maybe they don't go to church. But what advice would you give them as a single woman who's... are you dating?
I'm not dating. I've gone on a couple of dates, but I'm not dating. I don't know if I can say what my advice is. It's going to be a PG, but it's going to be real.
Okay, well.
My advice is keep your legs closed. I mean, I don't know if you have to delete this out or not, but I want to say that because.
But it has to be more than just keep your legs closed. Because nowadays with catfishing and technology and all these different things, men can get at you at 100 different ways.
They can, but we know that there's something that shifts and changes when you allow yourself to be intimate with a person.
Uh-huh.
And that's what I mean by that. Yes, we should be cautious and careful in the vetting process, period. But when we've found someone who we say, okay, we're compatible with this person, we vetted them, we feel comfortable with them, I say wait.
Okay, so how important is the relationship with God before the relationship is with the man?
The most important, absolutely. When you are in love with God, then you're going to be following his precepts and his principles. You should be in love with yourself and will be able to love that husband. You know, I can say this in a transparent moment, and some of y'all might be a little shocked, but even as a pastor's wife, after my divorce, I found out a part of the problem was I did not love God as much as I should have.
Wow.
And sometimes I did put ministry and my husband before my personal relationship with God. And that caused a struggle. That caused a problem. So I say, first and foremost, be completely in love with God and completely submitted to him. Because when you're completely submitted to him, even when there's contention, you'll be able to say, okay, God, but I'm submitted to you, and your word says X, Y, and Z, so I'm going to follow your word.
That's so powerful. Because I remember when I was dating my wife, and I asked my wife what she's dating, and she told me she was dating God. And I really didn't get the understanding of that until we really, really started dating. Mm-hmm. And so what you're saying about that, man, I think is great information. I think it's great advice. And I pray that the young ladies or even the older ladies that's out there listening, they understand that the relationship between you and God should be the first relationship.
The very first. That's why I've said, you know, I've chosen not to date. I've chosen not to go because I said, God, I need this time with you. Let you and I want you to be my best friend. I want you to be everything to me that you're offering me. He's offering to be our Father. He's offering to be our Savior. He's offering to be our Lord. He's offering to be our provision, everything that we need. And oftentimes we turn our backs from that saying we want a man. And he wants to give us that. He just wants us to love him first.
You know, I remember in the Bible when the people wanted a king, And God was saying, wait, but the people wanted a king so bad that he gave them Saul. And Saul, he started out as a good king, but he ended up as a bad king. And so I think the same thing applies in any relationship, whether it's a man looking for a wife or a wife looking for a husband. You know, you might want 6 feet tall, dark, handsome with a six pack, but God might have 5'5" with a bald head and a big stomach. You know, you might want what you want, but then, you know, I know before I married my wife, I had a certain type.
Mm-hmm.
And my wife did not check no box in what I like. She was very shapely. She was dark skinned. She had short hair. You know, that's not what I was used to. But when I tell you, when I listened and waited on God, when I listened and obeyed the word of God, I tell you, man, being married saved my life.
Hmm.
It literally, man, the right woman will save your life. It'll keep you out of a lot of foolishness. And when you do it right, God will elevate every area of your life. I promise you, man, when you do it right and wait on God, submit to his will and submit to his way. But anyway, that's enough about me. Listen, as a successful businesswoman and minister and woman of God, can that be intimidating to men? Because I know, look, I married, you know, my wife is very proactive with everything. She asked me something once. After that, here come the painter, here come the plumber, here come the electrician. She gonna ask me one time, and then she gone with it.
It is. I've even had men tell me that, even in this last year now that I've been single, someone told me, this is not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for a woman that's going to be more domesticated, that's just going to be there for me and take care of me. Some men don't want that. Some men just feel like they're not going to be able to handle it. And that's the other reason why I say, ladies, to stay single, get your relationship with God, because we have our own personal desires. And like you say, you wanted a certain thing. We might want a certain thing, but that may not be in line with our personality, our purpose, and what we are ascribing to do in our careers. And it has to be somebody who understands you. And that's one of the biggest things. I've had men tell me, hey, I can't afford you. You don't even know how much I cost. But they just look at, they count the businesses. They look at, she's doing this as ministry, and they feel like, oh, this sister is too much for me.
Okay. Now, is a relationship 50-50? Do we go to dinner and if the check is $100, I pay 50 and you pay 50? I mean, this is 2022. Does Dutch still exist?
You starting some stuff, right?
As a woman of God, these women out here are listening and they need to know what's out here, what's acceptable. And so as a woman of God, is 50-50 acceptable?
I say everyone has to do what's acceptable for them.
Okay.
This is very similar to a conversation we had at dinner the other night. Me and some girlfriends were sitting there, and she asked the question, is it disrespectful for a man to take you to McDonald's or Burger King on a first date? I said, it depends on how I feel about the man. If I really like him and I feel like we've got that connection, I might eat that Whopper, Riley.
Okay, come on.
You know?
Eat the Whopper.
I might eat the Whopper.
Eat the Whopper,
but
ladies.
If I'm really not feeling him and he's trying to impress me, then he may have to do a little bit more to impress. So I just think everybody does what works for them. Is 50-50 okay? I'm going to say that for me, I don't want to start that way. I want our partnership to be where it's okay for me to pay for it. It's okay for him to pay for it. It's okay for us to go in it together, but we're not walking into the door saying, where's your half?
Okay. I can dig it. I can dig that. Okay.
Right.
Now you mentioned the word, the ugly word, divorce.
Yes.
Divorce exists in our kingdom. In the kingdom of God, men and women of God get divorced. So tell me about that experience.
Oh, divorce. Well, I will say this, is that the Bible says that God hates divorce.
Right.
That has not changed. It's not going to change for me.
Okay.
It's not going to change for anyone else. But I do believe that there are circumstances and situations when a marriage is unhealthy,
mm-hmm.
and when both people are not thriving, they're not growing, and they've just decided that this is not what they want anymore, that God will release us from that so that we can move forward and live lives that's fruitful for him. Because if you stay in a situation that is not positive and productive, it's going to hold you back in some area. It's going to hold you back. So divorce is a very traumatic thing. I never thought I would be divorced. And that was the biggest thing for me. Not me, Lord. Did you allow it?
Not me, Lord.
You know, this happened to me. And I believe, though, when you are godly, even if you have to go through a divorce, that's where that relationship comes in, because God shows you two things. He will begin to show you yourself.
Right.
And what it is that you can do to become a better person. See, it's not about the other person. It's about who you are, who he wants you to do, be, what you're supposed to do, how you can change, how you can grow, how you can be better. And so I just say, from any situation that you've been in life, including divorce, take it and use it to learn. Learn from it, become better, and just move forward in life. So divorce is a very hard thing. It's a very difficult, traumatic situation. I think everybody that goes through divorce should immediately, when you start the separation process, go get a therapist.
So you said get better, not bitter.
Better, not bitter.
Okay. Because I think sometimes when people get a divorce, they get the two confused.
They do. Because one of the things that, you know, I actually ran into someone at Cufflinks and Pearls that asked me about...
Shout out Akilah Copeland.
Yes. That didn't know that I was divorced. And we go back to you saying, get better, not bitter. There are social media platforms. Many people go out and spread their business in the streets and blast things out on social media. There's nothing to blast. It was two people that made a decision that we need to part ways. But because he's an awesome, incredible pastor and man of God, and because I'm a woman of God, we're going to handle this like kingdom. And kingdom says get better, not bitter.
Amen to that. Now, as a woman of God, as you, so you're the founder of eChurch.
Yes.
And so you're the pastor of eChurch.
Yes.
So you believe in female pastors, I assume.
I do.
Okay. Now, how does that work if you're a female pastor, then you meet another male pastor, he has this church? Well, what's the order of service?
Well, again, I believe the order of service is what works for you.
Okay.
And what God has mandated. You know, of course, there are many people that both of them are in ministry. However, the woman is the lead or the head. She may be the bishop and he may just be an elder or a deacon in the church. And as long as they both understand their roles and assignment and know that when they leave the church, though, regardless of what the order is at the church, when they get home, the man is the head. The man is the head of the marriage, period.
Okay.
So that's how I look at it.
You know, in my marriage, we have three options in my marriage.
Okay.
And the first option is either my wife going to be with me. The second option is either I'm going to be with her. And the third option is either we're going to be together.
Right.
Because the word divorce, baby, is not even going to be spoken in my household.
Right.
But I have been divorced before. And like you said, divorce is a very traumatic event. But when you're living for God, when you're praying, when you're fasting, when you're seeking God, it's traumatic. But believe me, God will give you the strength to endure and be better, not bitter.
Absolutely, because I know that's a part of the platform that God has given me when I was asking the questions, Lord, why? Now I understand that everything that we go through, the experience is not just for us,
right?
But it's for someone else. I can help to encourage and empower other women who's going through a divorce to show them how to go through it with grace.
Right.
How to go through it with still a heart of love, how to go through it and still submit in humility. Like one of the things that I did is that until the day I walked out of the house, I was still a wife. And most people wouldn't do that. Separated. They would be like, no, But I was still a wife until the last day, still supported my ex in ministry, gave my tithes and offerings to a church that I wasn't even attending, because until we signed that paper, that was still my husband, that was still my pastor, and I still had an obligation. And so going through that process with grace and not being bitter and upset, but just allowing God to heal your heart and for you to have a positive outlook is so important. And not many women can do that. So I just want to be able to encourage other women to show them that you can go through this and come out smelling like a rose.
Now, Lady Danielle Taylor, is there an organization that, like, all the female pastors, maybe y'all get together once a month and kind of, you know, just be better, help each other, you know, in ministry? Is there something like that that exists in Columbus, Georgia?
I don't know that there is.
Because I know, you know, the fellows, you know, we got the barbershop.
Right.
You know, we got other things where, you know, the men get together and we kind of, you know, download, you know, to one another about relationships, life, and everything like that. Because, you know, I know for a fact I wouldn't be where I'm at, if I'm any place, I wouldn't be where I'm at without my wife. Mm-hmm. Because, like I said, my wife pours into me. She speaks over me. She intercedes for me. She does so many things for me. But I know there she had a mentor that poured into her, that taught her. And so, I mean, maybe you need to do that. Maybe you need to try to get together all these female ministers and pastors and bishops in the city. And y'all maybe have like a girls' club.
That sounds like a great idea.
And trade recipes, life recipes.
Right, absolutely. That sounds like a great idea, and I'm down for it. In fact, we can put out the appeal right now. If you want to have this type of fellowship, you know, definitely come together and reach out to me. But one of the things that I know often a lot of us will do is that there's this network of women that we will talk to one another, communicate, get together, and do with just what you said, share life recipes without it being a formal occasion.
Right.
But you're right. We should have that formal occasion and outlet for one another, because we've all had so many experiences that we can learn and draw from.
And, you know, I had a perfect name.
What's that?
Is Be Better Girl instead of Be Better Girl instead of Be Bitter Girl.
Okay, that sounds good.
Because so many times when we're toxic and negative, we find other people who are mm-hmm. toxic and negative, and we just kind of like have a pity party together. But wouldn't it be grand if these women of God can get together and lift each other up and build each other up and, man, talk about the past experience, and they be better instead of bitter from the situation?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. One of the important things, for example, when you're going through a divorce or have been through a traumatic situation, don't have people around you that's going to keep pulling you back.
Come on.
I had to change my circle completely. I started striking people off the list, and the ones that I allowed to stay close to me, I said, look, we're not going to talk about this.
Right.
We're going to talk about something else. I don't want to, well, girl, what happened? What did he do? How did you feel? I don't want to hear it.
Right.
Let's stay positive. Let's go forward. And having the right people around you, especially when you are healing, is so important. That's like going to the hospital, but you don't have any nurses and doctors in there. They send some mechanics in the room. They can't help you.
I love the analogy. I love it. They cannot help. Well, listen, Dr. Lady Taylor, where can the people reach you at?
I am on all social media outlets as J. Danielle Taylor. And J. Danielle Taylor Ministries is Twitter, YouTube, Facebook, Instagram. All of our contact information is on there, but our ministry number is 470-729-0406. And we are housed, my businesses are in the same location, just in a different suite. So at 3502 Victory Drive, right across from Walmart, in Suite 2 is Tax Pro and Boutique 46. And in Suite 3 is the Expand Event Center. And that's the community event center that eChurch is, again, launching in January. And that will be the house for our worship services on Sundays. And we have a great thing that's going. We're also using it as a ministry hub. So there's a ministry that's coming in out of Atlanta
That's
going to use it and have fellowship services on Saturday. So we've already put that in. So if there's anybody that you have a small ministry and say you just want to get things off the ground, get in touch with me, because we're not doing anything the rest of the week with the exception of special events and programs. So if you're looking for a space for a Bible study or an early morning Sunday service, we'll have service at 12 noon. So the 9 o'clock and 10 o'clock hour is available.
I told you, my girl got it going on. Well, listen, late, we're about to end, but is there a nugget you can leave for our listening audience? As a mighty woman of God, give us a nugget for the people.
The nugget will be this. So EXPAND stands for Extraordinary Potential and Nonstop Determination. You cannot stop. You have got to be determined to accomplish what it is that you know you're supposed to accomplish no matter what. That means divorce can't stop you. That means being a single parent can't stop you if you're a woman. It means that growing up on the wrong side of the tracks can't stop you. I'm preaching a sermon on Sunday morning over at Forest Park called The Audacity of Hope. That's just not Barack Obama's book, but that's something that God gave me as well, because you got to be audacious enough to say, I don't care what people say I should not be able to do. I'm going to do it anyways. And so that's the nugget that I would leave, is just have nonstop determination. No matter what odds are stacked against you, I always say, I have nothing to lose and everything to gain by trying.
Now, where will you be preaching that at?
Forest Park Baptist Church on Chautauqua Road.
Dr. Donovan Cooley.
Dr. Donovan Cooley.
My boy, Dr. Donovan Cooley, my boy.
That's my brother from another mother.
This Sunday?
This Sunday.
Awesome, awesome. Now, where's that location?
It's on Chautauqua Road.
Chautauqua Road, by the water tower.
Yes, right next to Green Acres. If you pass Green Acres on the left, the church is right there on the hill.
Awesome. Listen, this is the Rileys. It has been an awesome Sunday conversation. Peace.
Opinions stated by various contributors to this broadcast, its website, and this radio program are not to be considered necessarily the belief of this radio station or Davis Broadcasting. Do you have questions or concerns, or want to be a guest on Sunday Conversations? Send us an email at sundayconversations@dbicolumbus.com.